give preference to one another in honor. The theme verse of our church as a whole is Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If you want to be a part of a church that puts their actions where their words are, this is definitely it. We don't just live like Christians on Sundays. We are privileged with the gift of God's grace and the opportunity to live it every single day, and it shows. I hope that really encourages you. Because what that is speaking of is God's activity through this church in practical ways. How is it expressed? Well, expressed in caring for one of our ladies who had surgery, taking her appointments, providing food. And that's the kind of activity we want to celebrate. And oftentimes I'm aware that those are things are happening, and really you're not. Some of you may be involved in it, but oftentimes these things are happening behind the scenes. In fact, this is a picture I put up every special Sunday as we celebrate the activity of God. And here we have an iceberg. We're all familiar with an iceberg, and the fact that the most of it is actually beneath the surface, just a little bit above the surface. And that's the way it is with God's activity. There's just the most of it we don't see. It's taking place behind the scenes in ways that we aren't aware of. And then there's some of it that we are privileged to understand. And actually, what we do see should encourage us regarding what we don't see. What we have light concerning should encourage us when there, in a sense, is darkness and challenges in our lives. And so we're going to talk about some of the things we see. But I hope we all realize that there's so much more going on. So much more going on at Charleston Bible Church. One of the things we are encouraged by are baptisms. And we had 11 baptized this year out at Peaceful Way. And as we talk about God's activity and we look back, it's encouraging to know that there were 11. And here's actually a picture of the 11. But it also should challenge us concerning the future. I believe I speak for each and every one of us that we'd like to see more baptized. Right? That this church would grow because people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And the churches, I've been thinking about this lately, that oftentimes churches grow because people are just coming from other churches. And there's a time and a place for that. But that isn't the only way we want to grow here at Charleston Bible Church. We're going to grow that way. But we want to grow because we're sharing our faith. And God is using us to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's something as we look into the future. In fact, that's our emphasis for the year. The breaking of bread speaks to witnessing of Christ. And I'll be speaking of that in my message. So those who are baptized, and then those who have joined the church this year. Jane Kelly, right here. Christopher and Shannon, they're actually missing. There's a little boy missing in that picture. They just had a baby, John Christopher. And so I don't believe it. Here's an aunt and an uncle beaming and a grandmother beaming over here about the birth of John Christopher. And then Wayne and Nadine, as they've joined the church. And then those latest addition are Eddie and Angela right here. They've been around for a while, and now they are official members of Charleston Bible Church. Actually, I think today is the day we were supposed to welcome you into church fellowship. So welcome. Let's go ahead and say welcome. How was the process? Was it painful?
It was not painful.
It was not painful. We have a new members class. We share a meal, and I talk for about an hour and a half. I talk about nonstop, don't I? Answer any questions that might be there. Last time we had a new members class, we had 17, I think, attend that. And then if somebody wants to continue on in that process, then they fill out an application, meet with the elders. We hear their testimony. Their name is put forward, and you have an opportunity to talk with anybody who's joining the church. If you have questions for them, if you want to hear their testimony of faith in Christ. So new members, and what I'd like us to do, and I'm going to just call on different ones to be praying, and I am going to, as I'm looking around here, I am going to ask Chris if you would pray for our new members and those who are baptized and God's activity in the year ahead in these regards. Would you do that for us? Oh, and Chris, there's a mic right here I'm going to have you use. I don't know if that's on. Yeah, it is.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for Charleston Bible Church. I thank you for how it's meant so much in my life growing up here and my family, and just how you've used people here in my life over the years. And Lord, I pray for these new members. We thank you, Lord, that Charleston Bible Church is growing. And I pray that you would continue to grow us to be more like you. And I pray that you would help us, each member, to see how they fit and how they can contribute to the work here, to glorify you and to make you known. But we just thank you how you are working in people's lives. We pray for more baptisms. We pray for more salvations. Lord, we live in a dark time, and we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to glorify you. In your name, amen.
Amen. You can hold on to that. We'll pass that around a little bit. And let me say this when it comes to people joining in, whether they officially join or not, I look at each and every one of you. You've been gifted as a follower of Christ. And I desire, everybody's gifting is so unique, their personalities, their backgrounds. And I desire to be a part, and the leadership here also, of encouraging you in the use of your gifts so that this church becomes all that God would have it be. And you hear me talk that way all the time, don't you? But the more and more I'm amazed, and I'm starting to appreciate even more just the different giftedness. Because some of you, if I had asked you to pray like that, you'd kind of faint in your chair. It's like, don't ever call on me to speak in public. And then there are others who you can't keep quiet. They just go on and on, maybe, in public. Or have gift of teaching. And each and every one of us is unique. And I'm learning to appreciate that more and more. And not push somebody into an area where I realize that's not a good fit. That's probably not going to work. It doesn't mean that we don't stretch as we do ministry, but we all have been gifted in unique ways. And I appreciate that more and more every year. Finances, we want to thank God for his provision financially. You give. I don't believe we put all kinds of pressure on you to give. I wouldn't want to be at a church where there's this constant weekly, you got to give, or we won't meet our budget or whatever. We don't do that here. And God has used you through your giving to abundantly provide for our needs. You see, last year, as we came out of 2022, we had $160,000 in the bank. And a year later, we have $100,000 more. That's great, isn't it? That's moving in the right direction. That's how we like to see things go. Now, we are stewards of those monies. And we want to use them wisely. Here's a graph showing that same thing as monies have gone up. And probably this line here, that part of the graph, is our growth fund. And we ask you on a regular basis to contribute to monies that we know will be needed as we make changes around here. In fact, let me talk about facilities. What do you think of the way the chairs are? Huh? What do you think of the fact that now, because we've been able to add 32 chairs, that we don't have to do an overflow, at least for a while? What do you think of that? No, that's tremendous. So on Thursday, we met with GJS Architectural Firm. That's Robert Gerber. He's one of the leading partners in that firm. And he had all kinds of ideas for us. And changing the seating arrangement here was one of those ideas, a very simple way. When you think of storage and then things that are kind of cluttered, when you realize, boy, we can arrange this in a different way and get a lot more done, well, that's the way it is with the seating. He actually told us we could put, I think, one or two more rows in here. Now, we can, by code, do that, by comfort. Some of you are going to say, look, I'm eating my knees. This is not comfortable. So we're talking with them, and at an initial phase, and one of the things we're talking about, and I'll throw this out there, and this may or may not happen, but is expanding out the front of the sanctuary. What we would do then is move the bathrooms into the next section, expand our sanctuary, probably get another 80 seats in here, which will get us to about 300 seats. so we can grow significantly and making a foyer out there and possibly Christian education space, because we need to grow in both those areas. And then we would have a much nicer facade from the street. What do you think of something like that? I think that is a great idea. And that's one of the reasons, really, we went with an architectural firm, because they got fresh ideas. We've been talking about expansion and these things around here for a long time, but they've got creative ideas, and they know the code, and they can tell us, hey, this is what you can do, because we can come up with all kinds of stuff. You know, and then when you start to talk to somebody who knows codes, it's like, that's not going to fly. Now, the thing with an architect, I believe, is this. That they think without financial limitations. You guys can do anything. You know what I mean? We got this big billboard out front, digital, and all that kind of stuff. Well, we got to be careful with all of that, and wise, because we have other priorities. It's not just about facilities, is it? It's not like, well, we're just happy to have a bigger building. It's about people. It's about people and ministering the gospel. So that's facilities. And so Jonathan is working with it. Jonathan, I'm going to ask you to pray about facilities. God has been at work. He's provided. We've expanded a number of times, added the play area. Some of you weren't here at the very beginning. We put in the parking lot. All right, somebody's like, oh, you've been here the whole time. Well, this church used to park on the grass. And in fact, Chris, when was it that tree fell on your Suburban? Was that about the same time?
Yeah,
when they were making the parking lot. So aren't you glad we've got the parking lot? And it's not. Well, we do have a danger of a couple of trees in the back falling on us. But we're working on that, aren't we, Dottie? Probably going to cut them down. But Jonathan, would you pray and thank God for his provision and pray for wisdom going into the future? Chris, do you want to hand him that mic?
Father, thank you for the way that you have blessed Charleston Bible Church, and thank you for the new members, the new folks that are joining with us, the new visitors that are coming on a regular basis. We're thankful for the activity that you are doing in our church. Thank you for this issue or problem or challenge we have with facilities, Father. It's an encouraging dynamic to have to consider, and we pray that you would give our church, the leadership, wisdom to make decisions moving into the future that's going to be best for the growth of our church, and good stewardship of the funds that you are you've given to us. And in all of this, I pray that we would be encouraged by these dynamics, by these challenges, that we would also be asking you how we can be a part of it, either through giving or helping or facilitating or just even in the meantime, doing what we can to encourage one another and make our facilities work until you show us the next steps to take.
Amen.
We thank you and we love you, and you're a good God to us. I pray that we would be taking the blessing that you give us and blessing those around us in this church and in our community. May we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. All right, the commission Christ has given us is to go make disciples. We're familiar with that, Matthew 28, go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey all that I've taught you, and his promise to us, I'm with you to the end of the age. And so let's talk about making disciples here, because here we talked about facilities and those kind of things, but it's to the end that people become followers of Jesus Christ, come to faith in him and grow in that faith. We never want to lose track of that. So when it comes to missions and evangelism, we have an outreach leadership team that meets monthly now. I think it's the third Thursday of the month. I can't say that for certain. It's on the calendar. And there are about 10 to 12 people who meet regularly. We may have a few more, a few less. And they talk about outreach and evangelism. And some of the things they talk about and plan our missions conference this fall, probably the end of September, the 1st of October. We are looking for Remember to the persecuted church and then the counseling center to be our focus. And then they both bringing in somebody from the outside, remembers, obviously, most of their work is in other countries, and that will not be a challenge for them to bring in somebody from the outside. But Tim, with the counseling center, we're talking about bringing in, is it Dr. Mendez? Luis Mendez. Because it's very encouraging with the counseling center that they are looking to expand into Central America, translate their materials into Spanish. Isn't that great? That's God at work, and you're a part of that as we support the counseling center. And so, Tim, now you're really on the spot with that as we throw that out here that it's going to happen. So, missions conference and then missions trips. It's important. How many of us have gone on a mission trip sponsored by the church? Go ahead, put your hand up. Dan, I see you. Just a number of you have. They are life-changing. And COVID really threw things out of sorts. We had a trip, I know, planned to Cuba that didn't take place. We probably had other trips that did not take place. But we're kind of up and running again. And so in November, we're looking to take a team down to Cuba. And you may want to be a part of that team. It's going to be a construction team. We are a partner church. We have a sister church, Ebenezer Baptist Church in Cuba, on the very far east side of Cuba. And that all started through Ron Olchin. There was a hurricane about 8 years ago. What hurricane was it? Does somebody remember? Was it David? Matthew. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Lupker. That's great. And it destroyed Ebenezer Baptist Church. Blew it down. It blew it down. It was rubble. And Ron, through our contact with Ron, we started going to the church, provided the materials. And I'll show you a picture here in a little bit of Ebenezer Baptist Church. And so we're continuing to work with them. And so if you want to go on that trip, talk to Mitch, because Mitch is probably going to be at point with that. And that will happen in November. And the cost is going to be probably about $1,500, which is very financially doable. And the exciting part of that $1,500, and I can't say that for certain, Ron's still working on those figures, but about $500 of that will be taken and used to purchase materials. And let me say this, complain about the price of gas. It's $20 a gallon in Cuba. And they don't have your resources. $20 a gallon. Cuba is just on meltdown. Just the country as a whole with communism there. And so we look to have a team go, and then we're looking to bring a team to Jordan. There's exciting things that Remember is doing in Jordan with the church there, with all the immigrants that are coming in. I think they just hired a dentist. They're doing medical work. I don't know what else. I think they're training for jobs and those kind of things. So if you're interested in that, you can talk with Curtis. Anybody else on Remember's board? Rhett, can they talk with you? I would encourage you to go, and I'll help you make it become a reality. A finance is kind of like, hey, whatever. You can't afford it. Well, we'll ask Trey, and Trey and Kelly will back you in this. I'll help you make it go. No, that's an exciting part of going on a mission trip. My kids have been, I have been, and it's like, oh, here's this figure. How are we going to do that? People will rally around you. If you say, look, I'd like to go for 10 days to Cuba, can you help it become a reality? Will you pray for me? Will you financially give to this? They will help you. We all have those in our lives that just want to encourage us to do these kind of things. Local outreach. I think we should be doing more locally. Now, in a sense, we are the salt and light. You are in your neighborhood. And so we are. But different ministries, and I hope Jody's here. Come on up here, Jody, if you wouldn't. Grab that mic from Jonathan. One of the things we started last year was Connect Kids. And I don't want to say too much. Jody's just going to talk about what's happening with Connect Kids in the public school system. Jody?
I first wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who prayed for so long for this to happen, because I don't know if you remember, it took us about 9 months to even get in to speak to the principal. We had to go through the school district. It was kind of a long process, and I know there was people just praying for weeks and weeks and months, and I just thank you for that, because those prayers have been answered, and we have had just so many amazing things happening at the school. We have about 26 kids that have signed up. Usually there's about 20 that come each week. And I'm very thankful as well for the dedicated volunteers that help each week with it, everybody kind of has their own little jobs. I'll go through what we do each week. But Danny and Joel and Dana Hartnett, Donna Goldenberg, Emily Frazier, Aubrey Marshall, Chloe Mott, and Bea Bryant. And they are there pretty much every single week. And again, everybody kind of has their own kind of jobs. And I'll go through what we do at club each week. The kids get there right after school. They get there. They have a snack. Dana, I don't know if she's here, but she's like out of this world. She brings awesome snacks for the kids. They're very excited. And that's the time we get to kind of connect with them. And so, you know, there's some kids, too, that have really attached almost to some of the leaders that are there. I mean, talk about connecting with the kids. I mean, there are some that it's almost an we've had to really, they you can tell they're yearning so much for someone to just talk to them and be there for them and be a comfort to them. And they literally cling to them and want to sit. When are they getting here? When are they getting here? They're whichever leader they're kind of attached to. So anyway, it's really sweet to see. But we have a game. Bea usually does games with them every week with the whole group. That kind of sets it off on a fun tone. Then we have a lesson every week that is from the Gospel Project. And myself or Danny usually teach that lesson. And the kids are... I mean, they're engaged. Like, they are listening. They are asking questions. They remember what we talked about the week before. It's very encouraging. So that's, of course, the most important part of what we do at club. We usually have a song after that. We do a craft. Chloe does a great job with the crafts every week. They usually go along with the lesson. And then we have a prize box, which, of course, they love. And they have three ways that they can get their name into the prize box. They can, first of all, we were able to give all of the kids who did not already have Bibles, I would say probably about maybe a third of them come from a church background and already had Bibles. The rest of them that did not have one, we were able to provide them each with a Bible. So if they bring their Bible, if they memorize the verse, we give them, at the end of club every week, we give them a verse to memorize to come back the next week. And if they memorize the verse and also a little like homework sheet kind of based on the lesson, if they do any of those things, they get their name in a prize box. So it's just to encourage them to really, you know, have their Bible with them all the time, continue to study their lesson throughout the week, and start memorizing Bible verses. So they're really excited about that. And then we have prayer cards each week. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit for a second. It's just we give them these prayer cards. They can put their name on it or they don't have to, but they put it in the box. And they know that we are going to be praying for those. We have Dana especially, who is kind of the dedicated prayer person. We share them with the whole group through a text, take a picture so everybody can be praying. But it really kind of gives you a little insight into the kids' lives and why we're doing this, and also to be able to kind of see the growth of where they, you know, started out with their prayer requests versus where they are now. And it's encouraging. And I just brought some to kind of share with you guys real quick. We started out, I mean, we had ones at the beginning that were like, God, please make cupcakes rain down from the sky. Please convince teachers unicorns are real. But we had kind of typical, you know, good grades and health and family and stuff like that. We also had, you know, ones that are typical for kids. Please help me stop being bullied. Please, I want more friends, you know, different things. And, so some of the ones, though, as we've gone, they've learned more and more. I just wanted to read a few of them that have been more recent that are encouraging. It says, God, please keep me away from the devil because I don't like to be in sin. God, I want you to help me tell the truth. I love you, God. I want mercy, please. Help my friends and family and enemies and forgive them. Help me to... I pray that the Lord will fill me up with his love. This is one of my favorites. Please help me not to pop my lid when I get angry. Also, help me not to get mad at my brother and sister. I need a better way to react to things I don't like. And one of the best. Lord, thank you for everything you've given me and for dying on the cross for our sins. So those are some encouraging things. And just one last thing to focus on, you know, we, of course, want to invest in the kids, but we also want this to go home to their families. Again, we have some church-going families. You know, you can tell, but you have some. I get to see them every week when they get picked up and have gotten a little bit of insight into some of their family lives, and that is something that really gets at my heart and all of us on there. And we do want to do, like, events, maybe something at Peace Away or the church where they can actually come and invite their whole families and they can, you know, have the whole family's experience, what we're about. But so some of these ones, just to, if you can be praying too, just for these kids. And it's just, we get so many of these. I just brought like four, but they're usually every week. I pray that my parents will stop fighting. God, help my mom and dad to stop fussing and being mean to each other and just be kind to each other. Please give me time with my dad and for my mom and dad to get along. Please help me with my mom and dad. Help me to love each other and stop fighting. These are all from different kids. These are all different ones. So that's just kind of an insight into their home life and just what we can be praying for them to, you know, and that they would encourage their kids, that they would be even a light in their own homes. And quite honestly, when we give them that homework, it's for their parents to be able to see too. Hopefully, I'm hoping their parents will read it and that they will see what we're learning about, and just as much for them as for the kids. So anyway, that is kind of just the gist of what we do and what you could be continuing to pray for, just the hearts of these kids, that they'll keep coming, that they'll keep inviting their friends, that they will really just take what they're learning there and apply it to their lives, and that they will truly understand that those seeds that are being planted will grow. And just one more very encouraging last thing here. I told you at the beginning, you know, we had, you know, it took us about 9 months to actually get in and meet with the principal. And we just recently, I don't really ever see him. He's very busy. And he maybe stuck his head in, you know, one time. We've done some things for the teachers. I've heard their appreciative things, you know, like that. We took them, you know, some treats and stuff one time at Christmas. But anyway, I had to send an email to him about putting some Connect Kids signs up at the school so we can kind of help further advertise it. I very strategically placed them in the pickup line and the drop-off line so the parents can see and maybe ask questions. But I emailed him to ask if that was okay. And, again, I've had really no communication with him, but his response was, yes, I'm okay with that, Mrs. Harder. I love that these kids get this opportunity. I'd like to keep this going for next year and into the future, too. Amen. So that's a big encouragement coming from how long it took us to get started on this. And so just wanted to share that phrase as well, that it looks like we're going to be there for a while and keep it going. So if we can just pray that it does continue to happen there. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Does this make you want to smile?
Yes.
Encouraged. That's God at work through the people of Charleston Bible Church. And if you're interested in volunteering, Jody would probably be encouraged if you just let her know that. So maybe we go to a second school next year. How about that, Jody? That'd be quite something. All right, let's talk about missionaries. We're privileged to be a part of a lot of different missionaries and mission organizations. Jason and Polly Go. And, this is their daughter, Hannah. When we first met them, they did not have any children, and they asked Jack to pray. And out of that, I think would look back to that, say they were able to conceive and have this daughter. John and Becky Knox have been ministering in Japan for over 30 years. They came back in February. They are retiring. Can you imagine the changes for them after living in Japan for 30-some years? They're going to be living in the upstate. We'll probably have them down this spring and honor them and their service. But that's John and Becky Knox. Ethan and Valerie Wynn, they live in Germany but minister in a Muslim country through social media. And then Katie DePuter, there's a close-up of Katie, is in Indonesia. We need just to pray for her. They faced a lot of challenges. At first, COVID, and then just a team that struggled to stay together, working together as a team with different challenges. And so we need to be praying for Katie. And then I mentioned Ebenezer Baptist Church, our sister church in Cuba. This is the new church that we were able to help build. And you may look at that and say, well, for Cuba, this is huge. This is a great church in Cuba. And some of us were privileged when we had the dedication service. They had one of the main government officials in Cuba showed up. The place was jammed. There were people at the windows. Just a tremendous celebration we had. And so we're looking to go there in November. Hesed Aletheia, the Brinsons, have started a new ministry. You'll probably be hearing more about that as they minister in Uganda. They just developed a 501c. And so they are working with orphans in Uganda. Remember, we're very familiar with Remember, to the persecuted church, the Biblical Counseling Center, Tim and his group, the Pregnancy Center, I don't know how many of you are going to the banquet. They have a banquet here in a week or so. Gabe, I know we're going with you. Here we have different ones just supporting tremendous ministry, the Pregnancy Center. And then here's Connect Kids. So let's go ahead and pray. Jack, I know your heart for the gospel. Would you pray for our missionaries and our endeavors and thank God for what he's doing?
Our Father in heaven, we are commanded by our Savior to pray that prayer that covers every area of our lives and the lives of those that we minister to and those that we minister with. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored as holy. God, may your kingdom come and reign and rule in hearts and lives. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know one day all these things will be fully true, but until that time, you have called us to be intercessors, to pray for your work in this world, in accordance with your word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we commit to you all the ministries of Charleston Bible Church. Enable us to bring you the greatest amount of possible glory, to be the greatest possible blessing to the greatest number of people. And Lord, for each of these missions and missionaries that we've mentioned this morning, may they sense, even today, your touch, your presence, your power, your purposes, and your plans being fulfilled in their lives,
yes,
so that they might continue to be living sacrifices and be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in their lives as long as you give them the ability. We ask these things knowing you will answer. We ask them in your name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Let's talk about different ministries around the church. So since we talked a lot about what's going on in our community and in our world, adult discipleship classes. Jack, what do you call our classes?
I call them teaching with teeth.
Teaching with teeth. Let me read a few of the classes. Jonathan White taught James last year. Zach taught Grace Relations. Michael Mott taught a couple of classes on apologetics and decision-making. Curtis spoke on Israel. Tim did a class on doxology, really the character of God. Danny did thinking biblically about the church and early church history. And so week after week, our adult Sunday school classes, I encourage you to participate in them. They are just tremendous, that focus on teaching. And then Sunday worship and word. I'm just going to go through some of the things we have going on. Tim, I'm going to voice my appreciation to you and your team as week after week you lead us in worship. It takes many hands, yep, and you have many good hands working with you. I marvel at people's ability when it comes to music and singing. Do you? And some people just have it. It seems like it's a part of their DNA. Doesn't it? And they can sit down. Tim can sit down at the piano. It's kind of like, wow, look at that. Or Miranda's going to be playing drums today, I think. And she's studying at, Miranda, where are you at? What school are you at?
Furman.
All right, you can put in a plug for Furman. But just these different abilities and worship. I so appreciate the worship here. And it's such a critical part of what we are as a church. Because worship stirs our minds and our hearts with the great things of God. And we need that to live right day to day with all the challenges we face and to have this sense of the glory of who our God is and the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And that's worship. It just stirs our minds and our hearts. So the importance. And then in the Word and just being able to week after week, I appreciate the desire on your part to look at God's Word and to be able to say on a Sunday morning, open your Bible. And I do believe that most of you have a Bible that you brought with you that you open and that you use during the week. So Sunday worship and word, fellowship groups. We're a church of about 225 folks. And on a fellowship night or day, we have about 150 people in a fellowship group. That's tremendous. And many of the most of you obviously are a part of that. That time we get together, we share a meal, pray, maybe discuss the sermon or some other topic. And we do that every other week. So fellowship groups are a tremendous part of this church. Children's ministries. Jimmy, are you here? Where's Jimmy? All right, and that's you and your buddy, Josiah. Children matter at Charleston Bible Church, and in so many different ways. Nursery, we have a tremendous nursery. Anita is in the back, oversees about 35 different volunteers. That's a lot of people are involved in ministering to our children. Happens behind the scene, but it's one of the more important ministries at our church, because if somebody came in with a little baby and the child is not cared for, they will be gone. They will not stick around. So nursery, and then Sunday school. We have so many teachers with Sunday school. Children's church every Sunday. Kids clubs. We've got about 30, 35 boys and girls involved on a Wednesday night in kids clubs. And then summer camp. And I'll show you some pictures from some of these things in a little bit. And then Resolve. This was taken a week ago, and I think there are about 30 junior and senior high kids there. That's a Wednesday night. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And we see the results of what's happening on Wednesday nights in the lives of our teens as they continue to mature and continue to follow Christ. And this year, see this guy with his mouth open? That's probably a very good picture. This guy, he'll talk. He's going to stand up here and talk a little bit now. Because this year he came to faith in Christ. He's going to share that, and he was baptized out at Peaceful Way. So, Ethan, share your testimony with us.
What's going on? Well, as most of y'all know, I'm Ethan. If I haven't met you, then I'd love to meet you. I was raised in a Christian home. Most of y'all know my parents, Eddie and Angela Gwynn. They raised all of us in the Word. From a young age, I was aware that I needed a Savior, but I never made a concrete decision. I was a pretty good kid. Not really bad. Not awesome. I had good parents. Pastor said I should put some in there about my parents being okay. My parents are awesome. But even though I thought I was good, I knew there were still aspects of my life that needed to change. I always delayed making a decision because I was comfortable. I was okay with my life. But all through high school, God was there. He's putting his finger on things. He's saying, you need to change. And I kept ignoring it. I kept pushing it away. I was just kicking the ball. I said, I'll do it later. And later would come, and I would choose to kick the ball again. So last summer, I was especially convicted. Through Pastor Joel's sermons on Malachi and the Minor Prophets, and like he said, Mr. Danny's teachings in youth group, my heart began to soften towards God. I think it was about July, I decided I was going to try to be more Christ-like. I didn't tell anybody, I was just dipping my toes in the water. I decided I was going to try to be more Christ-like. And in that decision, God, the Lord really opened my eyes. In my own strength, there is no way that I can be like Christ. And, I mean, you can try. You can do a good job. You can look good on the outside. But there is no way you can have a heart change without the Lord.
Amen.
Well, let's see. A buddy of mine had left the country, come back, and I was there with him. We were at a party with him, and he said, he made a comment. He said he was so happy to be back with all his Christian brothers, and he lists off a few names, included mine. And assuming I was a Christian, I told him, I said, I haven't actually made a decision. I haven't given my heart to the Lord. He said, well, Why don't you come outside? Let's talk a little bit. So we walked out, and we started talking. He said, among other things, as a follower of Christ, I want heaven to be a crowded place. And I have no intention of leaving a brother behind. And in that moment, experiencing the love of Christ through one of my brothers, I was broken. It's a tradition for us to read John MacArthur's Miracle at Christmas, every Christmas. And in that book, there's a chapter called The People Who Missed Christmas. And in that chapter, he talks about the Jews. Now, the Jews missed Christmas, Christ's coming, because of familiarity. They'd heard it. They'd been raised in it. That's what they knew. And it's exactly like me. I was raised in the church, been going all my life. I knew I wasn't saved, but it was all I knew. Familiarity. They thought they knew too much. They didn't need it. They were okay. They were comfortable. But that's not the way the Lord wants it. He wants you to live for Him. I've been old enough, I've heard it, but until that evening with my friend Tyler, it never hit me like it did through him. So, after that, instead of trying to live for the Lord in my own strength, change. I wasn't living for me anymore. I'm living for the Lord. My short walk with the Lord, only since July, He's already changing me. Church had always just been a place I can go see my friends. Know a lot of people, but not anymore. It's a place that, through pastor, I can learn more about my Heavenly Father, how He's working in my life. Instead of just hearing about the power of the Lord, it affects me personally. It's not just that's what He did, it's that's what He did for me. Talking about the Lord's now a fruitful conversation. I'm not just giving you the right answer. I'm not giving you the church kid answer. I'm telling what He's done for me in my life. Now He has rescued me. Here, I have a desire to live for the kingdom of Christ rather than for the kingdom of me. I think that's it.
A lot. That encourages us, doesn't it?
Wow.
That's God at work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Impact. They had a retreat. I guess it was Zach. When was it? Zach and Leanne. When was that? Last fall? January? And just what's going on with our college students. Frontline. Men's ministry. Hearts and Hands, our ladies' ministry. They actually, and you've heard of it, they have their ladies' retreat with Julie Gills coming up the end of this month. And let me say this, too. I am privileged to see this on a Tuesday morning, but there's about 20 to 22 ladies who gather on a Tuesday morning to study God's Word. What an encouragement. And to see the relationships that have developed out of that. My wife is actually leads that study, helps lead that study, and you have this text line. She's always getting these prayer requests. Prayer requests, prayer requests, prayer requests. Sometimes early in the morning. Sometimes too early in the morning. But it's tremendous, the relationships they have. And then the emphasis on prayer. And this is an area for us to grow as a church. Who would ever say, well, we pray enough? Because we know we don't. The monthly day of prayer and fasting, you see that on the calendar, it's a Tuesday. New Year's Eve, we have a special time, Wednesday evenings. I would encourage your participation on Wednesday evenings. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a group that meets. They study Scripture for a little while and then spend about a half hour in prayer on Wednesday nights. Jack helps lead that. Nathan White, Mitch, you can talk with them about that on Wednesday evenings. And then Seasoned Saints, this is a relatively new ministry we've started, and this really is those who are older, seasoned, and they have grandkids. And so we meet Once a month, we have a meal together, and we pray. Because you talk about grandkids and kids, and people say, would you pray for my child or whatever? Well, we just decided out of that, let's meet monthly and let's pray. And that's been very encouraging. So let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to have to be done here. I'm going to ask one of our other leaders. Michael, can I ask you to pray for us?
Dear Father, thank you for your presence that we feel here in our midst, in our congregation. How you knit us together as a family. How our hearts are in tune with you and with one another. And how you have stirred us up to serve one another. And how you reward that, both the person being served and the person serving. Just thank you for this church.
Yes.
What it's meant for me personally. How it's changed the direction of my life and my kids' life. I thank you for Ethan and all those who you have reached through this ministry. And I pray that we would love one another in such a way that would just speak to the world that there is something different. And I want to be a part of that. Who is this God that these people say that they worship? Because it's changed the pattern. Thank you for Joel and his ministry and his faithfulness to you and to your work and bringing it to us through the years. How you have moved through him. How he has encouraged us with his tongue and with written notes. We can get on the field. We can just work for you, motivated through our love. And that's all in your son's name.
Amen. Let me click through a few pictures, and then we'll take a 15-minute break. We won't start right back at 10:30. We need a little bit of a break, especially for the kids. Baby dedication, Luke and Victoria, I think they're here. They're probably ready for another baby dedication, and they have another one on the way. They have four boys, and the fifth one is a girl. How exciting. Ladies' tea in the spring, summer camp. The games were just out of this world. Right, that's at the end. I don't think Danielle's here this morning. That's probably good. Whitewater rafting front line. This was amazing, the whitewater rafting. Look at that's rafting action. Rhett, are you going to try to get a group to go, or are you going to hold off? All right, the group out at Folly Beach in the fall, baptismal service in the fall. That was Sloppy Joe Sunday. Jess, how did your kids do after that? Pouring that chart. Where are you at? Huh? That was a sugar high there. I've never. My 70th birthday, appreciate that. This is out at Peace Boy, Greg Alderman. He's going to be speaking at our men's retreat again this fall. Christmas Eve, and then that's kids' clubs getting crazy. And this is one of my favorite pictures. That's Rhett teaching these young men and the impact that a Sunday school teacher can have. And I hope this doesn't sound prejudiced, but especially a man with a group of boys like that. Just tremendous. And then Stephen working with our kids' clubs, his children's church. There's a lot of opportunity for us. And we've already prayed and we need to dismiss, but I hope you're encouraged. I hope you leave. And I enjoy this time because it forces me, in a sense, to reflect back over the year. And maybe it's because I'm 70, I get so forgetful, but I think we just tend to forget all that God has done. And it's good to be reminded and to say, God, we praise you and we thank you for your activity in our lives and in our church. All right. Take